Hello and welcome to another edition, a special edition, a lovely edition of Red or Dead podcast. I'm Andrew Dixon, here with my friends Ellie and Kasam. How are you guys?
Ellie, I'm waiting for you.
Kas, come on, man. Don't be like that.
You see, this is the type of organized. This is why I have to work with.
No, but Dre, you see, confirm that you normally go Kas first. Let's just confirm that normally happens that way.
Yeah, but we mix it up, don't we? We got different hosts. We got to go a different route. Yeah,
okay, you see, all right, sorry.
This is the type of nonsense I have to deal with. But, you know, obviously they're here because you can hear their voices. And we have a special guest here. Maria. I've already forgotten the surname and just been terrible as per usual. But we're just going to go with Maria because she's family. We don't need to say surnames here. Yeah, because we don't want anyone looking us up. how are you and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me on. Yeah, good. Really good.
That's right. I thought we better have like a sensible voice compared to us three.
I'm not sure you're going to get that with me. But
I want to see if you're going to join Cass's red light gang, or if you're going to be in the green light gang with Ellie, or you know, maybe you're more than welcome to be in the amber land. Like me.
Yeah. we'll see.
I mean, we're all celebrating at the moment because we literally, are basking in the glory of humbling Arsenal with a 3-1 victory. And it wasn't just a 3-1 victory. It wasn't just like, you know, they obviously, Arsenal fans are going to complain about the possibly red card of Mane, which we obviously will discuss and see what you guys honestly think. And then we'll also discuss the possible handball from Jota, or however we're supposed to say it. But we're going to have to come out of our own individual nickname. But what a sweet strike, but we'll go into that as well. But guys, like I'll start off with our new guest. Yeah, Maria, what was your view on the game?
Oh, I thought it was fantastic. I was actually a little bit nervous going into the game. I was playing the way I just said that. There was all the rumours in the daytime about Alisson and about Thiago. So I just thought, this isn't good. But actually, I thought the game was fantastic. I thought they were spectacular. They looked good. They looked really strong, coherent. You know, they were playing. I just thought they were fantastic. And I think they really just showed their class on that pitch against Arsenal. Arsenal, I thought, just looked, you know, it was like the boys playing the big boys. And the big boys won. And we had to win that one. It was like 100% had to be won. And they did it. And it was done with style. And really, they, you know, that one goal that was conceded, to be honest, it was Liverpool that scored that one as well. So it should have been a 4-0, to be honest.
I like this. punchy to start off.
That's what I predicted. That's what I predicted.
Yeah.
Ellie, that was your prediction. Like, obviously, it was. Maria just mentioned that, like, it was like a must win, more so for us fans, more than, especially for the ones who are based in London. What was your view on the game?
Yeah, to be fair, I thought it was one of those games where I was really, really edgy the whole way through. And it was never, and it's one of those games I like to watch again so I could see how good we actually were. Because I was so in the game, so nervous. Not because of, I didn't think we were good enough. I knew we were. But bear in mind, we were good enough at the end of last season and we handed them 2 goals. We went ahead, we were cruise control. And then we handed them with Van Dijk and Alisson made a mistake and we gave them 2 goals and we lost that game. And it's more from that standpoint. It wasn't more that I thought, are we good enough to win? It's more that, will we win? And the way that first goal went in didn't help my nerves. So the whole way, I was sat there the whole time thinking, we are great, but I can't enjoy this until it's done, you know? And then I thought we were, like Klopp said, I thought we were absolutely dominant from start to finish. When you look at it, and strategically, the way that we didn't allow them to play their game. And let's be fair to Arsenal, I thought they actually played pretty well, but I didn't think they could have played much better, actually. If you look at the way they played out from the back and the way they managed to actually elude our press on so many occasions, I don't actually think they could have done much better, but we were just so on it. That was the Liverpool I liked watching. We were just hungry. We were just, like Klopp says, play angry, and we really did. And we could see that. It felt like the players thought it was a must-win. And I must admit, I agree, Maria. I thought it was a must-win game for a few reasons. A, we can't lose season between the trot to Arsenal. B, it puts down a real statement of intent for the season for everyone else. So now you can see everyone else thinking, wow, these guys are serious. Mm. And because as well, there's so many good teams in the league, I don't think it's a given that we can just cruise through unbeaten again. So I think we need to just win every game in front of us. And this was a winnable game. So I'm just glad we did that.
Cass. I know you're going to give me a very balanced view of it, but even you, my friend, must have been basking in the glory of this one.
I think the most impressive thing about this game was that you could tell we had another gear at any time that we wanted just to put the hammer down. So if they went one goal up like they did, we just put the hammer down, went ahead of them, and then we started to control the game. And I think that was the big difference from when we've played them in the past and other performances when we haven't come out on top, is that there was control throughout the whole team. We didn't look pressed at any time. Mm-hmm. You're right. Ellie's right about the tactic they had. They were just playing it short from the keeper, who gave it to one of the central defenders, and they would play it out and hoping that our front three would press them and they would have a gap to play it through. But I mean, I think we should point out some of the really good performances, and Gomez, a guy who's coming for a lot of criticism from us. I think that was one of his best games for us. And it's that whole theory that we've had where if someone's not playing well, you drop them, they get the message and they come back in. And we've never had that option before. But now we've got that option in pretty much every single position. And that should be a worry to every other team in the league.
So just on the Gomez part, like, you know, obviously, you know, we've all, you know, had our worries about his form. Do you feel that it was like Klopp gave him a little bit of a break because he needed to just to be able to reset and then come back? Do you feel like that was purposely done? Do you think that actually was an injury? Not that we doubt
he dropped him.
Our leader.
He dropped him. He blatantly dropped him. But I mean, to be fair, also, I don't know for sure if he would have come back in if Thiago was fully fit, and he might have stuck with Fabinho at the back, because you don't really want to mess around with your back if they played so well in the previous game as they did against Chelsea. So, we were talking, as Maria said, about throughout the whole day about the late fitness test on Alisson and Thiago. And now we know why Thiago has been away. So it's even more important that we had Alisson back in that game, because I don't know how Karius or Adrian would have done against, even against Lacazette, who's not very good. I don't know how they would have done.
Like, I mean, I think, Maria, it was a definite, obviously, COVID scare for both, you know, Alisson and obviously Thiago, who obviously had to be isolated. You know, Alisson had to be tested just to make sure that he was clear to be able to play. But what do you feel, Alisson, what do you think of Alisson's performance?
I thought he was really good. He just seemed like he was actually, I personally thought he just seemed like he was really taking charge. He was dominating. You know, that goal was, it was like he was the gate. He was there and nothing was going to go in. And you know, he had that, I can't remember who it was now, the save.
From Lacazette?
Yes. And I just thought he was on form. It was and you know, during the day, I thought that he was obviously injured and whatever. So when they said he was playing, I just thought, oh, okay, this will be interesting. But I really thought he kind of showed who's boss in that game, and he worked.
Yeah, I mean, to add to that as well. Sorry, Dre, but Alisson does something that I love, and Klopp said it. Alisson makes saves. He doesn't make it look spectacular. He's just so intelligent. He just makes sure he makes the save. And one of those things that Marie alluded to is where he closes the ball down. So when a lot of the time you'll see, when strikers have the ball, the keepers will take two step back and they'll shoot across and do some incredible dive, maybe save it, maybe not. Alisson, what he does is he goes straight at them, and it puts them off, and B, it smothers them. They've got nowhere to shoot. So they suddenly have to take a shot, and they have to be so accurate to get it past them, because it's a big frame. And I think he does that on so many occasions, it can't be considered chance. And he did the same thing. Even the goal, there's one that was offside, sorry. Lacazette was offside, and he pulled up a similar save off before he did the one that was onside. Mm. And it was purely because he just got the angles right, he smothered them. And there was another chance where they had the through ball, but again, he was alert, straight onto it. And I saw him kick it along the ground, heart in mouth, but then straight to one of our players and set us off on the counter. And it's like, he's just got that supreme intelligence that I think only a couple of the players have got that kind of level of intelligence in our team. Like, I'd say Van Dijk was one, and I'd say Thiago is one, where they have that inherent understanding of the game from front to back, where they can just make those sharp decisions at any given point and turn like a negative situation into a potential attacking position. So, yeah, no, I'm just glad for him that he managed to play to back off that good performance against Chelsea, obviously, because he had a couple of, like he said himself, they hadn't been keeping many clean sheets. He had a clean sheet against Chelsea, and now at least he got to back it up again. So I'm really happy for him.
I definitely think that, Cassio, I think you'd agree that like his confidence was rocked, you know, his form was definitely for the last 10 games, if we include like the back end of last season, definitely had disappeared the confidence and the wall Gandalf, thou shalt not, you know, you will not pass type of attitude he had. It had actually gone. Whereas I think that now what I've definitely seen, especially with this last game, is that superiority of confidence and leading, you know, the defence and, you know, talking a lot more. I don't know if you saw like a big difference in him, like confidence since the penalty save.
It's interesting because he was saying in interviews before that game that he's not the sort of goalie to shout at his defenders. He doesn't like that. And I thought that was quite interesting that he's vocal in terms of organising, but not at getting at the players. Like, I think, you know, other teams, when Robertson made the mistake for the goal, they might have gone in for him and tried to kind of have a go at him. But obviously, the way we play and the way we organise and the way we kind of get behind one another, it was really encouraging to see that, you know, everyone got behind Robertson and he went up and scored the goal. So, and that all comes from, you know, throughout the whole team and having the confidence in your goalie, which I think you're right. He did not have a good end to last season. I don't think there's any getting away from that. With him, I don't think it was sort of arrogance or, you know, partying too hard or anything like that. I just think, you know, I actually think that once we started to lose a few games, all that energy and confidence went out of him. And it's taken a while to get that back. But now that we're on a run, now that we're, you know, going on this, you know, undefeated run, for example, I think that's going to energise a lot of the team. There's something to aim for and keep that energy going, which we had at the start of last season.
I mean, what I want to do is as well is like I want to like pick out some of these players that obviously had lost, you know, a bit of form or confidence, and then, you know, kind of highlight the recovery and how impressed I've definitely been in these last couple of games. And I would say before I get into obviously main man Mane, is Trent. I think that Trent, you know, I don't know if you guys agree, but Trent definitely towards the tail end of last season seemed like, again, same type of thing where loss of focus or just, you know, just that type of, he wasn't like 100% as he, you know, normally is. Against Leeds, obviously, he just came back. It was his first game properly back, except for that debacle England rubbish that he had to participate in. But Ellie, do you feel that Trent like is now back to his best?
Yeah, and I'll say that because one thing that really, really came through at the end of last season, particularly when he started to drop off and form a little bit, like a lot of them did, so it's fair. But all he did was cross. He just crossed again and again and again and again and again. And he didn't really play the pass. He was just crossing, 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 hope, crossing, hope. And the quality wasn't quite there. Whereas you'll notice last night, he didn't cross actually that often. You know, he picked his crosses and obviously he got the assist of Robbo. But he picked his moments rather than just... And that shows me that he's thinking a lot more about his game. He's a lot more concentrated. And also, what I like is that, especially defensively, we're not talking much about him defensively because he's so assured now. It's not even a question anymore. It used to be, oh, Trent can't defend, can Trent defend? And now no one even mentions it because he can. And yeah. And it's just about how good he is. And I think he's becoming, despite his tender years, he's already becoming one of those players that there's this expectation that he's going to deliver. I mean, I'd say behind the crop of the, you know, the big boys, you're talking like the Van Dijks and the Alissons and the Salah, the Manes, I'd say he's just one tier down at the moment and closing up on them very quick. And if he can keep this mature mentality quietly, just getting on with his business, I think by the end of the season, he'll definitely be already up there with the rest as just purely world-class.
I mean, I might be obviously I'm late on this because that season's already done and the vote is already cast and the trophy's already been given. But I'm quite surprised that he wasn't the lead contender for player of the season last season, because I feel that he was just absolutely playing out of this world. And I think that for some reason, like, he's also it's the easy option to be able to put him down as young player. But Maria, do you feel that Trent now is getting that world class form? I mean, I'm anointing him world class. You don't have to agree. But do you agree that he's getting his best form back?
Yeah, definitely. I agree with Ellie, actually. I think yesterday you really saw a more confident player out there, more mature. It was a really measured performance, actually. And I think he's definitely, I'd agree, he's literally just that teeny little bit just below the big players. But, I thought last season he was actually fantastic. Yeah, everyone, I think, trailed off at the end, and there were obvious reasons why. Whether that's a good thing or not is a different story. But I think he's really come into his own, and you could see a much more mature player yesterday. I just think that really came through, that he's really grown, and that can only get better as the season goes on. And he'll get even more confident from that, because he'll be getting that kind of feedback, and he'll be able to, the results of what he's doing will come through.
Cass, I'm not going to give you an easy layup on this loving with Trent. I'm going to ask you a pointing question, if that's a word, but potent question, I'll say. Do you feel that Mané should have been sent off for that accidentally or purposely or elbow?
No. What have you done?
No, it wasn't a red card. It wasn't.
Okay.
It looked like a yellow. It should have been a yellow. The only thing I would say is that if they've taken the idea of intention out of handballs, which is the other big issue that everyone's talking about, like, if it hits the hand, it's a handball. If it's accidental or not, it doesn't matter. Then if Mane catches Tierney in the face, whether it's accidental or not, they could start applying that same rule. That's the only kind of get out I would say that Arsenal would have. But to be honest, I don't even think he caught him on the face. So I know Arsenal fans are complaining about that, but they need something to complain about, because we were better than them. The key thing for me was you can't leave it down to one goal, because if there's one goal difference, and that's what caught Tottenham out, they were miles better than Newcastle in their game, but they only had one goal to show for it. And that you can get caught out on that. And that's why when we got the third goal, it was like, that's exactly what that performance deserved. Going back to your original question, no, it was not a red card, and Arsenal fans should stop complaining about it. And it was also a goal by Jota as well. It wasn't a handball on that. So.
Look, he's throwing punches. He's throwing swings already.
Wow. Okay. I like this. Dude, I'm happy with this.
No, you won't like this bit, because we should talk about some of the not so great performances in our team.
Bring it. I'm ready.
It wasn't perfect. So there's two players that I think.
Bring it.
There's two players who I don't think as good as they should have. Obviously. Okay. I think Firmino as well, still. He did all the right things in terms of holding up the play and, doing all the nice touches and stuff. But he didn't get the goal. And we need him to start getting goals. And Jota coming on and getting a goal kind of highlights that. And it kind of puts a bit more pressure on him. It might mean that he performs better and he starts actually going for goal and finishing off some of these chances. So, I think that could be a good thing, actually, that he's got competition. The other one, obviously, is Naby Keita, who I think...
Come on, don't. I'm ready for you. I'm ready for you, bro. I'm ready.
He was the worst of the middle three, definitely.
Oh, again. Come on.
But he was. He was the worst out of our... Who was worse in our midfield than him?
Wijnaldum.
No, he wasn't.
He was.
Wijnaldum had the ball. Wijnaldum, if Thiago played like Wijnaldum did, you'd be raving about it. It was exactly the performance that you want from that controlling. We all spoke about the control we had in the game. Naby Keita actually misplaced quite a few passes.
Now I'm going to stop you right there. I have the stats.
Well, he did. But he
97% pass accuracy. 97%.
But he misplaced passes. He misplaced.
Oh, come on. Wait. 97. Are you hearing
me? Hang on. Wait.
97. Forget.
Wait. Forget that. Let me tell you that the ultimate proof of that
I'm going to look at our WhatsApp group and see what we said about Naby Keita as that game was going on. And Dre highlighted it. You said Naby Keita was misplacing passes throughout that game.
I didn't say that. Or Dre must.
No, Dre said it. Dre said it.
Yeah, but
you don't need me to drag me into this.
I'm dragging you into it, bro.
It doesn't mean it's fact.
I don't care about Opta or any of that.
No, no, no. Let me explain.
Go on.
Let me explain, right? Naby Keita, let me tell you, the highest number of successful presses in the league, right, last year was who? In the top five leagues in Europe, guess who? Naby Keita. Top five leagues, my friend. Naby, right? Naby Keita played to the 79th minute yesterday for a reason. Oh, yes, he went off for Milner, but he played to the 79th minute.
Yeah, because we needed more control.
In a game that was close to contest. What? You think Klopp would wait to the 79th minute if he felt... He'd take him off at the 60th, and he's done that on many occasions, let's be honest. But Naby was pressing like an absolute monster yesterday, right? He off his 97% pass completion, right? Only three of those passes were made in our own half. All the other ones were progressive. You know, so if the only reason he even gives the ball away is because he's trying to progress play. You know, whereas Wijnaldum, almost every pass was sideways or back. He barely ever looked forward, which I'm not saying is necessarily a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing because that's the way we had to play yesterday. We did what we had to do. And I must admit, at the time, I thought Wijnaldum was ghost. But on reflection, I thought he had a very solid game. He did have a very solid game. And the way the midfield three worked together, actually, as a unit, was superb. But I'm just not having Naby called out as the weakest of the three. I'm not taking that.
I'm sorry. But we'll see when Henderson is fit, when Thiago's fit, which one of them gets dropped. It's not going to be Fabinho.
There'll be two of them.
Yeah,
down.
No, I agree. I agree. I think it'll be two of the three that will get dropped and it won't be Fabinho.
Maria, I'm going to give you safe passage to be able to jump in. Who are you with out of these two numbskulls?
I might actually be with Cass.
There you go.
And he's like, fine. Any music is.
Sorry.
Right, okay. No, explain why.
More because we've had to pick one or two, you know, one main player. I thought Firmino, I agree. Just, I don't know. You know, like when you're watching and people are standing out for you, he just didn't, I think, yesterday, particularly stand out. Keita, I actually, do you know, I said earlier I'd written some notes on the match.
That's good.
I know. It's the student in me. Student, just to say. But I actually wrote down, I did write Naby down as a sort of a performance.
There's an agenda here. There's a growing agenda.
Overall, great, but those two were the ones that just stood out as
You know what it is? This is what I think. I think that, being honest, just in retrospect, I think that what we're looking for is for someone to be able to like kind of take on a couple of players and then have a shot. I think that their job, especially when it's just those three in particular, is to be able to just win the ball back and just give it to, the front three. I feel that Naby, yeah, sometimes Naby does try different things to be able to, you know, he's more likely to take on a player and then pass. His passing wasn't on point as it normally is, because normally he is the person who would do a through pass. He's usually there for a shot, all those types of things. But I mean, collectively, I think that game was just to manage and handle their midfield. So I think all of them did the job that's assigned. Now, don't get me wrong, when Thiago and Henderson come back, then two of those guys are sitting down. But which two are going to sit back? If you do agree, I'll start off with you, Ellie. Who's going to sit down when Hendo and Thiago?
Okay, okay. I'll tell you what. It depends. It's not really that simple. I think it depends on the opponent, first of all. Please. It is true.
Go on. What's your preference?
My preference in terms of midfield as a balance, I would actually go for Fabinho, Thiago and Naby. That's a balance, right? But then again, certain teams, though, I could understand why you'd want someone more forceful, which is just Hendo's just punching.
Sorry, hold on a second. You would sit Henderson for Naby?
Yes, definitely. No, because of the balance. Look, okay. you got Fabinho who sits, right, and is breaking up play constantly. You got Thiago, who's slightly more progressive of the two, can split some spray passes. I know Fabinho can as well, but Thiago is the metronome. He keeps things ticking. And you got Naby, a bit closer to the front, who can actually beat a man and get us in on goal. So take one man out of the game and distribute. And one thing I was going to say, because Dre, you nailed this, is that in 2017-2018 season, do you remember when Coutinho was prime Coutinho, right? The number one, the best player for taking on players in the whole of Europe was Naby Keita, number one in the whole of Europe, top five leagues again. And Coutinho was third, right? So this is, Keita's one of those players, I think, he honestly gets a rep for not doing things, because someone summed it up great. There's a German journalist the other day. He said, look, the problem with Naby is that he's not just expected to play, he's expected to perform. I said, he goes, you always expect a performance from him. You know, it's not just, you know, like other players, you can just play the game and do the thing, and that's fine for them. But with Naby, it has to be better than just a game. It needs to be a performance. And because he hasn't performed in the same way that he did when he was in Germany, which was like beating 2-3 men and scoring wonder goals from left, right and centre type thing, I think he's getting judged on that. So he's almost like, in some ways, a victim of his past success to a degree.
What it is that he's now at a proper team. That the whole thing about he's not expected to play, he's expected to perform. We expect every single one of our players to perform. There's no one getting away with just playing the game. So he's got to step up to those standards. It's a different level from where he was before. And at this team, if you're not performing, you can go out. And he's not performing. He's playing.
No, my friend, Klopp said it himself. Klopp said it himself. When Naby arrived, Klopp said it himself. Klopp's words, not mine. When Naby arrived, he was great. Then I coached him and he got worse. That's what he said. Klopp said it. And then he goes, it wasn't just that. It was also the injuries that played a main part, but it didn't help. And he goes, and now he's beginning to find form again and he's really happy with him. Right?
So if we're going by Klopp, who do you think Klopp will drop? Keita or Henderson if they're both fit?
Obviously, Naby. Exactly. because Hendo's a captain, though. Hendo's a captain, though.
He's the captain for a reason. You're talking about balance. If you need balance, you also need a captain on the pitch. For that reason alone, I would say Henderson is ahead of Keita.
No, but all I'm saying is that a certain team to the low block, I actually wouldn't want, I'd rather have Naby on than Hendo. But the good thing is we're having this debate, and I like it, because we can actually say confidently, you know, that we have at least, I'd say, almost two midfields, almost, two sets of three that we could play, i.e. six players, that we are pretty much, the level won't, I'd say, drop notably, but it'll just be slightly different. And I think it's great to finally have that option, finally have that squad option, which I don't think we've had in the past.
No, I agree. And the good thing about the squad, and it's going back to Jota as well, is that you can see exactly why he bought him. He's someone that can go in and play in pretty much any one of the front three positions. And it also kind of, it enforced to me why, and I hope he doesn't do it, but it enforced to me why he might get rid of Brewster, because that guy can only play in one of those three positions, like, realistically. And it's the same reason why we couldn't get Sturridge to work in that system. Great striker, but you have to have a striker that can play in that style of football, and Jota can do it, whereas other strikers can't. And that is why we've got a great squad now.
So who's your midfield for the Villa game? You know, obviously we've got Arsenal first, but who's your midfield for the Villa game?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I don't think Henderson's going to be fit, and I don't think Thiago's going to be fit as well, so I'd be very surprised if it's not the same middle three.
All right, all fit, who do you choose?
Fabinho, Henderson and Thiago.
Maria?
Same, exactly the same. Sorry, Eddie.
It's Dre? Okay, no, it's fine. It's fine. No, Dre? It's fine.
Dre, who are you picking?
You know what? The strongest midfielders. The thing is that with Ronaldo, it does play into my head that are we trying to play him so he stays? Because obviously he's looking at game time, you know, how Thiago's going to be able to affect him. But if we're looking at Thiago at his best, and you've got Hendo, so it depends. If we're playing the same type of midfield system when there's like a two and a roaming person in the midfield, I mean, God help the other teams. Yeah, I don't think that there's a better midfield pairing in the Premier League, definitely. So yeah, I probably would go. It depends on the system that he's going to play. But I do like Keita getting that opportunity, because I feel like in the off season he's actually. Pre-season, I mean, he's actually proved himself and he should get more of a role. I think Wijnaldum's actually regressed a bit. I'm not saying he's shit like some of these dumbhead fans, because I can still see his qualities. But if we're looking at, you know, I would like them to start using Keita more. But then it looks like if Thiago's playing, then he's going to be on the bench. But, I mean, to be honest with you, I think with the games that we're going to have thick and fast coming, I think that everyone's going to be getting their opportunities quite often. And don't count this stupid Techniki teacup that we've got. We're playing on Thursday. I'm talking about like actual real competition.
Well, but that's the thing. So we have got that game against Arsenal again.
He'll be playing for that game, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I want to see Minamino start that game. I'm sure
he will.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm sure he will. And I want to see some of these players start. There was part of me that wanted Minamino to come on in that game against Arsenal as well.
A big part of me. Just to 20 minutes, not just two, 20 minutes.
I find that 1 minute thing really insulting.
Oh, it's upsetting, yeah.
It's also hurting his lucky to get that. But come on.
Dre, now behave yourself, my friend. The guy can finish. You saw what he did to Link. Okay, it's Lincoln.
But
he can finish. No, please, come on. Let's have some respect. He can finish. The guy can finish. Maria, please help me out.
I actually agree with Ellie on this one. I think he should have been given more time yesterday. That was, I don't even know why they bothered.
Yeah, I don't like the one.
I'm going to explain about the camps in this lovely family of ours. So obviously, you've seen the Naby Keita debate that's going to go on through every Christmas meal.
I have noticed
until
that man leaves.
It's going to stop in about 2 or 3 weeks' time when Naby Keita gets injured for about 4 months. And then
that is true. This man's always injured. And even Eddie can't say nothing about that.
He's not injured. He was never injured before. He played four seasons. No, before he came to Liverpool, he was hardly ever injured at all. He had the season before he joined, he had one injury. And then when he came to Liverpool, he got injured. But before then, he never used to get injured. That was one of his traits. That's one of the reasons we wanted him.
I root for Keita. Even though sometimes he's disappointed me over the last few seasons being injured, but I do root for him. Now, Minamino has to earn my fandom. Like, because I see a lot of running around, but I'm talking about against quality opposition. But
I agree with you. He has to earn it, but you have to agree that he's not been given the chance to earn it. He's not on the pitch enough to earn that respect or get that kind of position.
You have to earn that in training. And if you're not earning it in training, if you just keep on doing laps and running around, you know, we're not playing Knockdown Ginger or Kiss Chase, like he just keeps on running around. So I want to see an end result on it. So, Maria, what do you think about Minamino from what you've seen? Do you think that he deserves to be in the first team rotation?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Right. Well done. Well done. I'm glad you're speaking.
Up on you on this. I do. I think he shows really good... I sound like a teacher. I think he shows really good promise, but... Shows very good promise. That actually, I used to be a teacher. That's the kind of thing I used to say. Shows good promise. He does show good promise, but I just don't think we've seen enough of him. But what we have seen, I thought.
What's his grade then?
What's his grade?
Yeah.
As I said, we don't see enough of him. It's like, you know, where the kid doesn't turn in their work, but when they do, it's good. So I don't know.
So from what you've seen, what's his grade?
A C is perfectly respectable. But I think there's room for improvement that we will only see if he's played. If he's not played, we're not going to see it. But when he is, I think he does. I don't think he just runs around. I think, you know, maybe we miss him. He's there. He's doing stuff. He scored a few times.
Just correct. Get the ball, well said. Yeah. Well,
you get the ball.
Right?
Running without the ball all the time, running around all the time.
No, just... Charity Shield, who got the goal that got us the penalty? Well, everyone else on the pitch.
No one cares about that participation.
But all our other big men were on the pitch.
But they were still drunk. It's different. We're still celebrating last season. Literally, as soon as we got hold of the trophy, it was like, all right, new season starting. Literally, as soon as we did. So I forgive them not for the atrocious turnout in the Charity Shield, the first game, but now they're back. They're like, all right, guys, come on, we're back now. Well, let's talk about the actual main players. Obviously,
stop that. Have some respect.
Put that BTEC Cater on his ass.
Oi. I tell you what. Listen right now. I mark my words. By the end of your season, you guys are going to be eating your words, all of you. It'll be up for awards left, right, and centre, and you'll be all be eating your words. You've got it on recording. Hear me now.
My fandom is flexible.
Your words.
You said the same thing last season, and you know, I didn't eat no words then. I'm still starving. But let's talk about
the main player. I don't remember that.
You wouldn't believe that we actually won the league as well. But right, okay. Let me go into, before we praise Mane, because before we go into the next session, we have to definitely give Mane his due. I feel that because of all this other stuff that always happens, we never give him the praise. Actually, let's just do it now. Mane, you know, Cass, I'll start with you. Mane, how good is this guy?
He's amazing. He's one of the best players in the world. He is at his peak as well. There's no other level. Everyone keeps saying, oh, you know, there's no other level, but he doesn't need to. He's in the mix for best players in the world. You can't expect someone to go much beyond that. So we've just got to make sure we get the best out of him for these next, I would say, two seasons at this level. He should be in the running for Ballon d'Or. He's at that level now. And we've just got to make sure we keep him going and we keep him, I guess we play a system that suits him as well. And I think that's one of the reasons he hasn't moved, because he's not going to get that kind of service or system at Real Madrid, for example. He is at his peak, and we're very lucky to have him.
I mean, Maria, his performance off the charts. What's my name? But do you feel that he's severely underestimated, because he doesn't really get as much coverage and fanfare as some of the other players in the league?
Yeah, he doesn't. I completely agree with Cass. I think he's one of the best players. Yesterday he was a bit aggressive. No, sorry, he wasn't aggressive. He was assertive yesterday because he was hungry for those goals and the win. And he just did it in an aggressive way. But I think he is up there. I don't know why he doesn't get the praise. I don't know why that is, but I think there should be a lot more attention on him. He is, like, yesterday you could see he was kind of going full steam ahead, and it was like it got to this point. I think when they took him off, I'd never seen a man so sweaty, and he just looked like he'd just come out of the shower.
Weren't pleased.
He wasn't at all. But, you know, I wasn't sure whether he was taken off because of the yellow card or the aggression or because he was potentially, like, running at full pelt. I mean, he could have run out of steam in that match. But I think, as Cass said, it's just making sure that he stays at that level that he's at and kind of doesn't run out of steam, and that he gets rest and he's rested as well. But I think he's an absolute integral part of the team at the moment.
Ellie, who's the most important attacking player that we have? Obviously, let me take out Thiago because he's only played one half of a game against 10 people. So who's the most... Don't say Minamino. Please don't. I know you're getting ready to do that. Who's the most important attacking player that we have out of him and Salah?
It's the easiest question to answer. It's for me, it's without a shadow of a doubt, Mane. He's just... I had a debate with someone actually early in the gym. Arsenal, I think it was Chelsea fan, asked about it. You shouldn't do that. But anyway, I was saying how that, you know, Mane... he was trying to say that Aubameyang's better than Mane. I'm like, no.
Excuse me?
So please. I said, Mane can single-handedly, he'll get the ball off someone else and go and make the goal. Yeah. Aubameyang, if you feed him, he will score, but you have to feed him. You have to give him the opportunity. Mane is just the epitome of raw athleticism. The guy is so quick, so sharp. He reminds me of like Samuel Eto'o in his prime, but almost more ungainly. He's almost so raw that it's almost like he's losing control, but he's always in control at the same time. It's like, I wouldn't say he's the most silky player, but he's just got that raw power, and he just he explodes into action, whether he's running away from a player or his tricks or his shots. He's pretty much two-footed. And I think, I actually think he has been receiving the plaudits, so to speak. I mean, he was top five Ballon d'Or last time. And that's good coming to being. Obviously, it wasn't had this year, but the year before. He won African Player of the Year. He's constantly winning Man of the Match. And especially before Salah had that explosive season, Mane was the Player of the Season. He won everything. And even this year, you know, people like Jamie Carragher, for example, said he's the best player. He absolutely loves him. And I think he's just such a humble guy that sometimes when people almost reflect that praise, you see it a lot more. Whereas he almost just takes it in. It's like a black hole of plays, and he's just so humble. He just takes it in and he quietly gets about his business, destroying teams again and again, game after game. And I think, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Salah is incredible and he's not far behind Mane, but Mane, I mean, you think back to the games where we've had nothing. He was still there when we managed to win that game against Everton 1-0 at Goodison Park. Champions League final when Karius made the first blunder, he got us back in that game as well. Just think of all the big games. Bayern Munich away, got that amazing first goal. Every time we need that guy, he's just there and spectacularly so on many occasions. So, yeah, I can't say enough about the guy. Special, special player.
Well, let's go into another subject, which caught everyone's attention. You know, Mo Salah, before we preference this, but saying we love you, we are big fans of you. What the hell is wrong with you in the moment, trying to take their team? What is going on?
I mean, he's always going to do it. He's not going to stop trying to get those goals and get himself on the score sheet. I think, when it works, obviously we praise him and we say, you know, amazing hat trick and, you know, great goals and all of that. But he when he took it away from Jota, I thought that was really bad form, because this is a guy who's on his like, you know, he's making his debut. This is a chance to give him all that confidence that we need for the rest of the season, and it's just being taken away from him. And yeah, that was a pretty shady move. But I mean, look, we need him as well though. And as much as we praise Mane, there's games when Salah is the main man, and I think not having that pressure to be the guy all the time actually helps both of them.
Mm.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think. when I saw Salah, yeah, because do you remember? Obviously, in our personal chat, like I literally was just laying into Jota. I was like, "What the hell? How?" Because obviously, he just missed a shot before. All right, cool. It's his first shot for Liverpool FC. I get it. But that one, it looked like he miscontrolled it. So at that point, I thought, what the hell is he doing? Or why didn't he just pass it off to Mo? When I realised that Mo just took it off of his toe, it baffles me why he does some of these things. And is it important for him to score no matter what, even if we're winning comfortably? Does he always feel that he has to score, Maria?
Yeah, I think that's what comes across. Last night when I watched it, now I watched the match twice. I'm a bit extra like that. Last night when I watched it, I just thought, what's he doing? He's taking it off him. And actually, when I watched it again today, I still hold on to that. And I think there's something in him that just, he wants to score every match. He has to do it. And Salah's actually one of my favourite players. But he's got this little greedy thing about him. And I think it's just becoming a bit of a thing lately. And I think he needs to be a bit careful, because it's going to suddenly become, you know, it was even mentioned, I think, on the commentary, you know, greedy Salah. And it's going to become a thing if he doesn't kind of control this. And we know it's because he wants to do good by the team. But at the moment, it's looking like he wants to get, you know, the goals. He wants to be nominated for things and so on and win the awards. But he needs to just remember he's doing it for, you know, it's for the team. And yesterday, he definitely took that ball off of Jota. And I know I had a debate today with a friend who's a massive Liverpool fan. And he actually said, no, Jota was being a bit slow and he's got this way of being slow. But no, I don't agree with that. That was Salah. He literally just went in and took it off him. It was like you're standing there with your ice cream and someone just comes along and takes it off you and eats it as well. Doesn't even eat it. So
Maria is saying, from what I'm hearing, is that Maria is saying that Mo Salah is the new Harry Kane.
But Mo, if you're listening, I really love you. So please.
What's your view, Ellie?
Well, to be fair, first of all, he definitely stole it off him. But I'm going to try and be the positive one again, as always, the green light. And I'm going to try in Salah's defense. First of all, I will say, part of being a really good goal scorer is a hunger to score goals, right? What I said about last week when Thiago came on and everyone was just passing him the ball, it just showed the confidence they had in him, and it showed that Thiago, because he's truly world-class, had earned that confidence. So no one had any hesitation of passing to him. Jota's obviously a bit newer and less well-known. And obviously, Salah had just seen him ping that one into the side netting, which he thought he should have scored. Do you know what I mean?
He should have scored that, to be fair.
Which he should have scored. Yeah, let's agree. We are. So So Mo's thinking, nah, I don't know if I can trust you to finish this, you know, as well. You know, that it's a split second decision, bear in mind. It's not like it's they've got time to make this. They've got to make a call. And he's like, no, I'm gonna make sure of this. You know, because he thinks he's that good, and to be fair, he is that good. Mm-hmm. But he fluffed it. Now, do I think it's the right thing to have done? Of course not. No. I mean, you've got to trust your teammates at the end of the day. And I know he missed the first one. And what I liked at the end is when Jota got the goal, you can see Salah almost grimacing, going, you know, sorry, mate, a little bit like, sorry about that. And, you know, like, my bad. You know, yeah. You can finish. My bad. You know, I kind of shouldn't have done that. But it's one of those things, look, no harm done. I think hopefully, if we as fans hopefully play it down and hopefully it'll die out in media and we can just move on from it. Because I think it is important for him to be greedy, because what I didn't like was when he kind of seemed like he didn't care as much. You know, he got to the point of towards, I don't know what, you know, when he kind of, that first game this season, he was really angry again. And I love that, because that reminded me of his first season when he just used to fight people, bully them, turn around. It's my ball, you're not getting it, you know, I'll make something happen. If no one else will, I'll do it myself. I'll keep going until I find an opening. And I think he lost that tenacity a little bit, like he wasn't quite as hungry. So I'm glad he's got it back. But I think, just hopefully that will be the one that calms him down. And from now onwards, he'll be a little bit less greedy.
I believe it was like, I think it was Andy Robinson, who was joking around with him just after. Or it was Genie, one of the two, I can't remember. Mm. You know, we had a corner not too long after that, and it was just like, he was like laughing at him like, you greedy.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
So that is definitely like, there's all love in the crew. You know, we are dominant force. In this league, looking to cruise towards another championship. Now, that being said, you know, am I getting ahead of myself where I'm actually thinking this? You know, City obviously lost. You've got Tonkin.
Battered.
Spurs dropped some points. You know, obviously, it wasn't their fault. But I'm not really impressed with them or their manager. Arsenal obviously lost to us. And Chelsea have stumbled. And they got a new group of players together. So as we all discussed last week, you know, it's too soon to anoint them challengers. So am I right in thinking there's no one really to stop us from winning this league again, Cass?
You missed out Man United, and I don't.
I love that. I love that. I love that.
Yeah, you missed out Man United exactly.
We're not talking about small clubs here.
They're not a threat. They're not a threat at all. I mean, unless we do something to screw it up for ourselves, we are in pole position. I thought City looked really, really good in their first game, but then against Leicester, they really got played off the park, and it was actually embarrassing to see them in that position when they've spent something like 400 million on defenders and they could not defend to save their lives. I think I got to be fair to you as well, Dre. You called out, you said Nathan Ake is not the answer to anyone's question, and he is not. They're spending, what, 60 million on another defender now just to try and fix the holes that they built themselves. I think I'd be surprised if they're going to be in the running this season. Everton, you know, the only chance Everton have got is if they go on a fluky Leicester-type run. But we've seen it happen. So, we've seen it happen in the last few years. That's the only thing that could save Everton. I mean, Calvert-Lewin is playing like Vardy, to be honest. He's getting those goals. So.
Oh, please. Please,
oh,
Cass.
Come
please.
On, man.
Jesus, man. Cass, come on. He trips over and scores. Like, honestly, like he's not good in any formal way.
Yeah, but James Rodriguez is good.
Yeah, but Everton get one injury. Their squad depth is so shallow. They get one injury, they're out.
But they keep buying. They're still buying. I think they're going to buy again. They're going to strengthen that team. But I look, they are very outside threat. In fact, it says a lot about how poor the others are that we're even talking about them as being a
fair point.
I agree. No one else has impressed me. No one's even got close to our levels so far this season.
Ellie?
I will be cautious with this because what I will say is a really interesting stat. Another interesting stat of the other day is that City have lost 10 games in the last 30. And we've lost 10 in the last 128. And I think that just shows, in the league that is, by the way, I think that just shows the kind of run that we're on, the kind of form we're on, how consistent we've been, and which is why I think we'll win the league again. But like Cass said, if we get complacent, like we did towards the end of last season when we'd won it, that kind of thing can ruin us. But I don't think we will do that again. And the other thing is injuries. But even then, having said that, our depth is so much better. than it has been before, that I can't even see that really being a massive, massive issue. Because look at how many players you've got injured now. You know, Chamberlain, Henderson. Okay, Thiago didn't play. You've got guys like Matip out injured. And even our bench without them still look pretty strong. And that's not without including the youngsters. And we didn't mention guys like Gruitch, who played in the week against Lincoln and looked really solid in the number six. Obviously, Curtis Jones is growing into form. And Shaqiri back again looking like a threat. So our depth is incredible at the moment. So I can't see anything derailing us but ourselves at the moment. But that could happen. So I'm just going to keep quiet and just keep taking it on a game by game, much like they do, and keep praying that we just keep it together.
Maria, I literally was thinking, like, literally when Ellie just reminded me that Shaqiri still plays for us, and I totally forgot, even though he pretty much, I would say, maybe man of the match last game against Lincoln, I think we played, and I think it's safe to say we've got two very strong full teams. Are you as confident as some are where we can actually just go and walk the league?
I think we can't get complacent, as Eddie was saying. It's really early days. I think just a few matches in. I think we can do it, definitely. I think the team's strong enough. And the others, you know, it's only been a few matches in. There are strong performances, but I think Liverpool just seem to be a kind of a notch above everyone at the moment. They're just so tight. I do think there's other teams below the big ones that we need to look out for that could suddenly have a bit of a surge. You're looking at me like, what?
Yes. Yes, I am.
I think that I'm going to be really controversial. I said this earlier to someone. What are you talking about? I'm not saying that this team is going to rival Liverpool at all. But I do think there's a few to watch. And I think Crystal Palace at the moment...
Oh, my strong. God.
No, I'm sorry.
Not to win the league.
To what?
But I just think that they could be up
not
there.
Not get relegated.
We'll just stay up. That's right. Do you mean like to cost people points?
Yes. Yeah. I think they will. And I think they're showing that. I know they lost their last game, but I do think that... They could be one where we think, oh yeah, they're going to be easy, and they won't be.
I agree with you on that, actually.
I'm complacent, and I just think that they've got, there's something about them at the moment that is that's a little bit special.
Cass, can you bring some type of
logic
to this? Logic to this? Is it? Can we just?
I think I will say I think it's very competitive at that level below the top two or three. I think they're all going to take points off one another, and they're all going to give. Like West Brom gave Chelsea a really, really good game and took 2 points of them. I think there's going to be a few teams like that. Forget Fulham, they're gone. But
agreed.
Apart from them, I think there's like Aston Villa. I think Aston Villa are going to give us a good game, you know.
I agree. I'm nervous, to be honest. I'm nervous about that. In fact, there's not many games I'm not actually slightly nervous about.
You're always nervous about all
the games. Yeah, I'll be honest, I am.
Because he does. He gets really nervous every single game.
You know what? It's because I'm actually a realist when it comes. Because I know that. It's not that I don't think we're better than the other team. That's never my position. It's just that, you know, lately, I'll be honest, last season, I don't think we played as well as the season before. You know, so we kind of just got by winning by a goal, last minute goal. You know, like that. We kept on doing it and we just kept on edging our way to victory after victory. And we had a couple of comfortable wins here and there, but in the main, they were pretty close games. And I think it's been a while since we've just... You know, remember those days we used to just absolutely blow teams away?
Well, even Arsenal, there were times when we beat them 5-1, 4-1 and really blow them off the field. And we didn't even do that yesterday. We controlled them. We were the better team pretty much for every minute of that game. But we didn't blow them off the field. And that's the thing that's happened. And it's the kind of thing that we've already spoken about, which is that when Coutinho was there, we had that ability
to
outplay teams and just put 4 or 5 past them before they even knew it. We used to do it to City as well. But now we don't do that. We don't have to do that. And it's less risky because you win more games playing the way we play now. But you're right. We don't make it easy for ourselves as we used to when we used to get right in front of teams and then just put them to bed really early on.
I mean, what I would say is that when I went to see them, us versus Tottenham at Tottenham's ground, even though we just won 1-0, it was a very comfortable 1-0. I mean, it should have been more. I don't think we've got to do that anymore. I think that what I love about this team now is that if you think back about like, I sigh when I say this, like Man United, like literally the amount of close calls that they had, they just used to just win. So it wasn't really that often they used to give a team a tonking. And I think that we haven't got to do that anymore. I just feel that with the option, any new season, you kind of look at who's signed, who's got better. City, which is our main challenger to the title, have not got better. You know, I mean, I don't know much about this new signing yet, and obviously
he's good.
But even so, he just like Thiago is going to need time to be able to adjust to this league. It's more detrimental for him because obviously they're going to be plugging him in straight away as a defender. For you to be able to get used to the pace of this league is going to take a bit of time. I just think that I don't understand why City have waited to now to do business that they should have done before. And I think that what City haven't got stronger attacking wise as well, because obviously they've got Aguero out. He's the only person that really worries me.
Jesus is out as well for a few weeks.
Jesus, but even when he's playing, he's patchy. He's not really that good.
Yeah,
or everyone, the world knows my view about Sterling, completely overrated. I'm not saying he's crap anyway, or especially England fans, but I'm just saying that, before we start banding around world class, like Mane is world class. Some idiot said to me that Sterling's better than Mane. Sterling's better than Salah. But it's just stupid things like that people say. And there's things you don't actually understand football. Please go back and watch it and learn before you actually make these statements. I think that the other teams haven't actually made significant strides forward in additions. Like if City had bought a centre-back early and then bought another striker, then I would say, okay, you know what, we've got to worry about them. But they just look flimsy. I'm not saying it's going to be a walk in the park like the last time, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was.
I don't think we're going to get as many points as we did last season, but I still think we're going to be clear of the rest. I just think we're going to get good games from lesser teams, so to speak. But like you say, City are going to drop points all over the place. And apart from them, I don't think any other team's going to get that close to us.
So you're saying we can win it in January?
We can put our feet up in February and focus on the Champions League. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Let's get. Guys, what do you think? Ellie, do you want to?
No, it's fine. Karen, it's fine.
I was thinking. Okay, the next thing I wanted to kind of discuss before we start looking up in front of these two victories ahead of us with Villa and Arsenal. I'm feeling punchy today. Jota and Thiago, like, what is your, from the time that you've actually seen them play, and Maria, I'll start off with you, what has impressed you? Obviously, again, bear in mind, obviously, Thiago played against 10 men, like, he did change the game, but what's your first views on them? How do you think they're going to fit in?
Yeah, I thought Thiago looked like he'd been part of the team for forever. He looked like he should be there and he should be there and that he was fully part of the team, even though I swear he stepped off the plane like the day before and then played the day after or something like that anyway. He was really measured and confident, and I thought he was fantastic. Jota, again, I feel like I've not seen as much of him, but maybe I've not paid as much attention, which I should have. But I thought, again, just really involved, and I just think they really fit in, and they were good. They seem like good choices at this point. Thiago, like 100%, I think is fantastic. Jota, I mean, he scored. I can't knock him, but yeah, he was really involved yesterday, and yesterday he did shine, even when Mo took the ball off of him.
Ellie, do you think that Mo and Bobby should be kind of looking over their shoulder, or even Mane should be looking over their shoulder? Do you think it's going to take them to another level?
Well, maybe not over their shoulder, but I think the level of the whole team performance since we've made these new signings has gone up. And I don't think, like I said about Robertson, the moment we signed, how do you say it again, Maria? Sorry, Costas.
Tsimikas.
Tsimikas. The moment we signed Tsimikas, well, that's a bit better. say it properly now. The moment we signed Tsimikas, Robertson's game just instantly went up a couple of levels and he's not dropped it. Yes, he made a mistake yesterday, but that can happen to anybody, even Van Dijk. So, and I think the rest of the team, since Thiago's come in and also more so Thiago than Jota, we've just seen to that professionalism's all like come back all of a sudden, bam. I mean, and you've got to think about it from the team's point of view. You've got a Champions League winner last season coming to you into your dressing room. This guy played for Barca. He's won everything, you know, stepping in. You're not going to want to just, you want to prove that we are, no, we're just as good or we are better. You know, this is Liverpool. You almost want to show off how good the club is. And I think the discipline, the performances kind of reflected that. So, you know, I think that with Thiago, I think from what we've seen, he's a no-brainer. I think he will play and what he's bringing to the team is really obvious. But one thing I would say is that when Mane came off, my heart sank a little bit because I was like, oh, Mane's coming off and we're going to lose that energy, that dynamism. And I think I was thinking back to season gone by when Origi come on. And no disrespect to Origi, but there's levels to this game. Anyway, and he come on and then, come on, Dre, come on. Let's stop disrespecting completely. Come on, that guy's a legend, please. Anyway, so and you'd almost think, oh, okay, so we're going down a notch. You know, and I kind of felt that with Jota, to be fair. And no disrespect, I'd not seen him play for us, so I didn't know what to expect. But then the energy was kind of similar, actually. He had the same intensity. Obviously, no one can be like Mane, but it wasn't that much of a step down, which it normally is. I was thinking, okay, so we can actually take Mane off. And the level, I thought Bellerin must have been thinking, sweet, I'm good now. And then he's like, oh, no, this guy's just as intense. He fought him for everything. You know, he was running at him, you know, and his touch was good. I noticed a couple of passes he played. The weight of pass was perfect. And the Klopp made a statement after the game. He said, look, you know, he goes, we've done a little bit of training. I said about 20% of what I wanted, instructions I've told to Jota. He goes, but he watched, having watched Mane play for that 80 minutes, he picked up from what Mane did. He instantly learned from that and put that into practice when he went on the pitch, which I thought was also a very good sign. And, you know, and also going by the record that we have for signing players, especially ones we don't think about, they always tend to be winners. And I think I back these two to be winners again, in every sense. Cass, that is.
Cass, do you think that Jota coming in before, obviously we rave wax lyrical about Thiago? Do you think that was the nail in the coffin for Brewster? Obviously, bear in mind he hasn't gone yet, but do you think that's the nail in the coffin for Brewster?
Yeah, I think that's him done. I think it's Origi offers something. He's more of a wild card than Brewster, and if you've got three or four strikers ahead of you, just having that one person that you can throw on and do something crazy like he did against Everton, Origi did against Everton, for example, that's what you need. I think Brewster's a better player. I think he's a better striker. I think he'll go on and probably achieve more. And if he does amazingly well, I hope we put the buyback clause in his contract. But yeah, I think for him and for Liverpool, it's probably best that he leaves.
You think so? All right, okay. If you're gonna pick a club for him out of I think it's correct me if I'm wrong. In the running is Sheffield United, Palace. I think those are the main two. Tell me if
Palace would be good because he'll get chances there. Sheffield United don't create much. He wouldn't end up getting that many goals, I don't think, even if he plays that well. So Palace would be good for him. He'd be good enough for a lot of teams in that league. Let's put it that way. Someone like, obviously, West Brom, he'd be amazing there, but they're not going to be able to get him. So, yeah, I hope it's a team that doesn't have to fight relegation. That's the only thing for him.
Yeah, I agree.
As long as it's a team where he's not struggling and kind of, you know, they've got 10 men behind the ball and he's the lone striker. As long as it's a team where he gets a chance and he gets to participate in the play, that'll be good for him.
I was going to ask
his number one fan there, which is you. Brewster's number one fan. You've been, talking about him for a long period of time. I was going to ask, like, don't you think that it would actually be sensible for him to, providing Origi is going to be sold, for him to wait and actually just, kind of work his way in? Or do you think that it's right time for him, considering he has his friends in the same England squad playing now?
Would Jota coming
wise for him to go?
No, with Jota coming in, he should go. It's proof in that signing that we don't trust him to be the guy on the bench. and Jota plays more like the front three than Brewster does. So he's, even if Origi goes, he's going to be a distant choice behind Jota as the substitute.
I think Ellie disagrees.
Yeah, I mean, all I was going to say is that I think Bruce is almost a victim of his own ability. He's almost too good. It's not his age. It's his ability that means he can't just sit around doing nothing. I think Klopp's one of those guys that he wants what's best for the player. And he knows that Brewster's too good to be number three. But he also knows, as Cass said, the versatility of Origi. I think if someone had come in big for Origi, we would have sold him and it wouldn't even be a conversation right now. Mm. But if we can't get the money, we're going to hold on to him because he's versatile and he has got that big game experience and also skill set to come on. Even against Newcastle last game of the season, he comes on, scored. Actually, he started, didn't he? But he scored a good goal for us then. You know, so he can get the odd goal here and there. And he tends to get the important goals. So I can understand that. But going back to the team, I mean, David McGoldrick, really good. He's actually, and I can understand why Sheffield are going after him, because McGoldrick actually reminds me a lot of Brewster in some ways, a much more mature version, but similar. Brewster at Swansea didn't have a lot of the ball. And that's why I think Klopp's willing to let him go, because he's not actually a player that actually likes to have the ball too much. He's actually more of a target man, which is completely opposite to how we play. Which is why I actually wanted to stay, because I thought he offered something different. But I can understand why someone like Sheffield would be interested in, because they have to fight for everything. And at Swansea, he was a fighter. And he'd only need one chance and he'd score it. And that's how Sheffield play. And he's like, for me, he seems like an almost like a younger version of a David McGoldrick, who could do a bit of everything. But when they get a chance, they tend to stick it away. They work hard for the team and can score all manner of goals. They just put the ball in the net. And I can see, I think Sheffield provided, like Cass, I don't want to see him go to a club that's going to be fighting relegation. I'd like him to have a good run of things, a bit like Danny Ings did, where he could be in a team where doing okay enough for him to have a comfortable run. So I hope, but I still think Sheffield would probably be the best bet for him.
I'm thinking personally that I would like him to be able to go to Palace. I think that would suit him better. I think Palace, from what I saw with the way that they play against Man United, I think that they create a lot of opportunities for him. And if anything, that might be something that would keep, Wilfred Zaha there, because obviously if he sees that he's got someone there who can bang in goals alongside him. And, sometimes you get a connection with someone, you end up just thinking, okay, you know what, maybe it's not so bad. I think I might stay here and I might finish a little bit earlier. Not that it's going to be Maria's title prediction, For Palace.
You have to get this on record fully. I did not say they were going to reach the title. I just think they're going to take points away.
Okay, what position? What position? Go on, say it. What position, Maria? What do you reckon?
What Crystal Palace?
Yeah, exactly.
In the middle, mid-table.
I want to hear numbers. I want to hear opposition.
No, I'm not going to. Because you know what's going to happen now? They're going to lose everything and they're going to get relegated, and that'd be the end of that.
If they get Brewster. Yeah. If they get Brewster, then maybe they'll start banging in.
I think that's
in.
A good place for him to go. And then I think Liverpool will bring him back at a later stage once he gets a bit more.
Right. Apparently, the buyback's 40 million, apparently. We're looking at a 40 million buyback, I've been hearing.
I think Palace, the reason why he hasn't gone to Palace as yet is because they're refusing the buyback.
Yeah, exactly.
Ridiculous. How about you don't have him then? So it could be that. Guys, I want you to just go through. Let's all go through our look into the Arsenal Participation Cup nonsense we have to play in. I'm not really a fan of this stupid cup. Honestly, I'd rather us not be in it. But yeah, at least it gives some of those players a run out. And then obviously Villa. So what is what is your teams? Do you reckon that we're going to play? I'll start with you, Ellie, on Thursday against Arsenal.
Okay, it'll be Adrian in goal because Karius has gone on to Union Berlin now as well. It would have been Adrian anyway. And then I think obviously left back will be Tsimikas, if I said it right.
Yeah.
Tsimikas. Okay, we'll take it. And then hopefully, I would like that Williams to get another go. Reece Williams, because I thought he did well alongside Van Dijk. Okay. Maybe who would I like to see? It's a tough one, centre back, because Gomez gets injured a lot. You know what? I'd actually try Fabinho in the back and give Van Dijk a rest, because he doesn't get many rests. And Fabinho is more likely to get a rest because we've got more midfielders. So I'd give Van Dijk a rest, put Fabinho and that Reece in the centre back, and then on the right, give Neco. He has to have. I felt for him, and I must admit, I didn't think he played well, but you know, he's going to need games to grow, and Trent's going to need rest. So I play Neco on right back. Failing that, maybe Milner, but let's just say Neco for now. In the middle, I'll go for Grealish in the centre, like he did before. And I think, if I'm correct, he played Grealish and who was the other guy alongside him? Curtis Jones, definitely. And was Shaqiri in the middle, or was he playing off the front? It was Shaqiri as well, yeah. I'll keep the same, because I thought that worked incredibly well. I thought that was really solid. Obviously, then Origi. You got Origi up front, and then you got on the right, Jota for sure, and on the right, I'd have Jota, left Origi, and then Minamino in the middle doing what he does. I think that'd be mine. Yeah. So, I mean, pretty much, I think you've got to rest players. We've got to just focus on the league. I mean, you know, I think that team's good enough to beat Arsenal.
Cass, what would you go?
Yeah, pretty much the same. I think as long as we play the same system as we do with our first team, then we'll get a proper idea of where these players fit in. So, yeah, I want to see Minamino and Shaqiri definitely up front. I think he might drop Origi, but apart from that, I think it'll be the same team.
Amira?
Yeah, pretty much the same. I think what they played last week worked. But yeah, I think we've agreed with Ellie, give Virgil a rest on this one, save him for later on. Yeah, pretty much the same as last week.
I think I want those two centre backs to be able to get their partnership back on track, and I think that the more that they play together, the better it is. So I would start both of those two, Gomez and Van Dijk, again just for the first half, within view to actually bringing off Virgil at half time. Fingers crossed if possible, but I would leave Origi on the bench and play Jota, because I think that he needs to get into the rhythm. Obviously Minamino as well. I was actually just a side subject. I was actually appalled with some of the treatment that Nico Williams was getting. Now, you know, he's only a 19-year-old kid, and I can't believe that some fans would actually be, you know, coming at him, you know, for what they deem poor performances, when he's probably better than them, their kids, their grandkids, and so forth, anyone down their family tree would ever be. And I just think, if you're not, you know, we can say all this stuff obviously on our chat, and it doesn't mean we're not supporting them. We always will be supporting and rooting for the players. You can say someone's not playing well, but when it starts getting like personal off the field, I don't think you're a fan. You know, I hope you guys obviously would. I'm sure you guys do agree with me.
It wasn't even like what they said. It was the fact that they were tagging him in it. It's like in the first couple of shows we did, we spoke about him and we said he needs to improve and so on. But we didn't then go and post it and say at him and say, "Oh, look what we said about you." That was where it was over the line. And I think, yeah, you're right. It was just classless, all of those kind of statements. That I also don't think it was. I mean, there were obviously a lot of our fans, or the majority of people who did it were our fans. But I also think a lot of other people getting involved in it.
Agreed. Yeah, definitely a lot of trolls involved. But also, I think football in general, I think, especially because there's a lot of young fans on Twitter, they get emotional and that can happen. But also as well, like, you know, we do sometimes forget that because of social media, it brings us much closer to the players that we've had access to. And I think at times we think we have almost more right to their lives and opinions about these people as people rather than as footballers than we actually do. And I think, you know, what that showed was that I think a lot of people overstepped that mark and made something personal that was purely should have been constructive feedback, so to speak, or in some way they made a personal attack on someone's character and someone's future. When, you know, we won the game 7-2. I mean, come on. You know, let's be realistic. That's how he learns. And I think people forget very quickly that Trent had loads of mares at the start when he was starting off. You know, so he just needs time. But you know, is how does he? Where does he get that time? And how does he get that time? We'll leave that to Klopp because he's the best man for that. But I agree completely, Dre. It was out of order.
Yeah, I can't. You're definitely not a fan of the club. Like, you know, you can go elsewhere. You can go to Man United or Arsenal, especially Arsenal or Chelsea for that type of stuff. You know, it's just, there's not a need for any of that. But let's look forward to big one, Villa. You know, guys, what do you think your team is going to be? And you've got to give me the result as well to see if we can. Who was right the last time?
None of us, I think.
Well, for the Arsenal game.
Yeah.
I said 2-2.
You said 2-0. I thought you said 2-0, I think, Dre.
Oh, yeah, I said 2-0.
I said 4-0.
Of course,
but all of us way off.
Nah, I was one goal out.
I was one goal out.
No.
Yeah. If he scored in the right goal, then it would have been fine. Yeah, so.
Yeah. You were right, actually.
I was right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Maria. You can come again. You can come again.
Well, let's start with Maria. What's your lineup, and then what's the score?
My lineup. Right, I'm not going to give my full lineup. I'm going to say who I'd like to be in the lineup.
Yeah.
It'd be great. I think Thiago, great to have him on.
I don't think he can play.
He's not allowed.
Oh, is he? Oh, of course.
Quarantine.
Days don't pass. Right, forget. Scratch that. I think Fabinho.
Mm-hmm.
Needs to be on.
Well, you know what I've noticed? Everyone has to go. It's only the midfield that can be juggled around.
And everyone else does the same.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's kind of what I'm thinking, to be honest.
Yeah, everyone's name in midfield.
I think it'd be great to have... It'd be great to see... oh, God, it's gone clean out my head. Who was I going to say? I think bring on Jota, maybe, a little bit, towards the end, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Midfield, as before, as Arsenal.
Midfield as before, yeah. I think it worked. And I think...
Okay.
I don't know. I'm wondering if I'm underestimating the Aston Villa game, actually, because no. I just, sometimes you have to be careful with these. You come off the win and you go into.
I agree.
They gave us a really good game last season. It was two very late goals.
Think we can just make assumptions on this.
I agree.
I do think we'll win. I think it'll be. If people can see Jake's face, he's looking at me like. He's done that quite a lot about the whole thing.
That's who you got.
And, and the score. Do you want my score?
Yeah, go on. Here's the score.
I think it's going to be 2-1 Liverpool, of course. But I think Aston Villa will get. I think Villa will get one in, even if Dre doesn't. And Ellie's like looks in distraught by that.
No, because I can see it happening, but I don't want it to. That's what I think. That's more.
I just think that's a realistic measured prediction there.
I reckon it's going to be the same front three. I would love to see Jota start instead of Firmino, but that's not going to happen. So it's going to be the same front three. In the middle, because Henderson's injured and because Thiago...
Just say
Thiago had to get a deadly disease for him to play in front of Naby Keita.
Just say so, like, it,
so, yeah, if it wasn't for this global pandemic, Naby Keita would be getting benched. But because we are where we are, you know, it's the new normal that Naby Keita gets the game. But, it's going to be the same middle three as well. And exactly the same lineup. Exactly the same lineup as Arsenal.
Did you say your score already, Cass?
I haven't said the score yet, actually. Yeah. Oh, you want to know the score now?
Yeah, please.
I would like to say it's going to be, I think, 2-0.
Ooh, okay. Okay, I mean, team-wise, I think I'm going for the exact same as last time. No need to change it, barring injuries. I think Gomez was so good at the back. I was a little bit nervous about his return, but that performance put that absolutely to bed.
Mm.
Score-wise, I think Villa are going to be tough, but I think we're a different team. We're a different team this year. I think we're back to the kind of levels... The Arsenal performance reminded me, and the Chelsea one first half, reminded me of the season before last in terms of our discipline. So I'm going to go for a 3-0 win.
Oh.
Not easy, but it'll be a 3-0 win, yeah. Liverpool win. Let's clarify.
Yeah, exactly. Where's your loyalty? Difficult one. I'm quite punchy, and I feel that we've got the hop on people. at the early start of the season. And I haven't seen anything with Villa that I've been like really uber impressed with. I think that our midfield and attack is too fast and mobile for them, like for people like Mings, who's a really slow, lumbering defender. So I think I'm gonna go with Cass. I'm gonna go with 2-0. Same lineup as before. You know, I don't think we've really got much choice really. That being said, obviously I can't wait till the big boys are coming back, and then we can have this. We can actually have an hour debating the midfield on its own.
It won't be a debate when they're back, will it? That's the point.
You know what? Like, I can't wait till the end of the season.
Bring it on.
When the season comes, I'm just going to say, when Naby's picking up awards, you'd be like, oh no, I can't believe. Sorry. You still won't admit it, but at least I'll have some validation.
Well, I just want him to score a goal. Score a goal, mate. That's all I need from him.
He's such a short-term memory. That bang he scored against Chelsea.
He did score. He scored a few goals. Especially the one against Chelsea.
He closed his eyes and whacked it, and he got a goal. Well done.
He's so horrible to him. It's terrible. Maria, thank you so much for coming on and putting up with us bickering as we normally do about the same things every single week.
Ray, tell us about the latest Liverpool football kit, please.
Oh yeah.
You know what? There's a training kit. I did try to stay away from this, but there's a training kit I actually really do like. That we're still in. Yeah, no, there's a new black one. It's a louder black and red.
I like that. I've seen it. I like it.
League one. And obviously, I think the last time the grey one was just released, just as we did the last one.
I really like the grey.
And I've made a decision that I actually do like that, and I will get that one. I do like that. I think that's like the Champions League one. So far. And then obviously, we're still on the Jordan collaboration. You know, what day is this? I'm gonna find out what day we announced that we were with Nike to now. So we're on day whatever it is, such and such.
They do that Jordan collaboration, I'm buying the whole thing.
It's happening. Well, maybe not this year, but it's happening.
It's not happening this year.
But it will happen.
Don't they finish their
exclusivity?
Right? Or have I made
No. It's an exclusive deal till next season. I think it's next year.
Well, this is where I become Cass, and I highly doubt it. I think we've been duped. But that being said, I still will be wearing the kit, whoever makes it, you know, except for if they go back to Reebok again, which is one of the best days for the kit. Warrior was the one, wasn't it? Warrior with that stupid white shirt with the flames on it.
Warrior was New Balance in disguise. Let's not forget that.
That's right.
So he had to go through Warrior to get to New Balance. It was like their test project.
But that one and the court jester one. But obviously, we've got good memories because we almost won the league with that.
Yes,
and that was Suarez at his peak, and I don't think he's actually even been better since that one. That season.
Special. It's a shame we don't talk about European football, because Luis Suarez had an amazing game in his debut for Atletico Madrid.
I think
he's going to outscore Lionel Messi this season in Spain. Put that down.
It would be fantastic if he did. And the thing is, I didn't see the whole game. Obviously, I just saw the clips actually. But he just looked like old Suarez. He just looked so sharp.
He only came on, I think, in the 70th minute. So he only had about 20 odd minutes, but he got an assist and two goals. And the two goals he scored were quality. And you're right. It looked like old school Suarez. And I think there's nothing scary in the league.
Yeah. He's a very angry man for the way that he's
points to prove,
which is completely unacceptable, the way that he's been shipped out after everything he's done to Barca. But you know what? To be honest with you, as much as I love you, Louis, a little bit of karma coming back for you there for what you did with us. A little bit. I do love you, and it's still majority of my old password of a lot of my phones, but like love you to death, but you still did us dirty, threatening to go to Arsenal, which I will never ever get over. But that being said, we are cruising our way to another title win.
Oh no!
come on, Dre.
I'm saying that. I'm calling. I'm going out and calling this early, so I can be the one to say that I had the most faith in this team. So I'm going to go out now. Where are we in week? We're in week two?
We're in week three,
and I'm calling it now. So I'm just going to start, you know, looking at where the parade's going to be, so forth, and get my COVID celebration mask ready.
What a guy.
Keep on tuning in. Thanks again, Maria, for joining us. We'll definitely get you back on very soon. We'll be back here next week, all arguing and rowing, and we'll do some international football coverage because we haven't got no Premier League. I believe it's the week after next, so we'll be forced to be able to, you know, talk about the dud games that we have to go through internationally. It probably won't be England we'll be covering, that's for sure. I think we'll probably be covering everything else by then, you know, wherever our players are going to be. And yeah, make sure you catch us on, you know, Spotify, Deezer, we're on Google Podcasts and iTunes as well. And then obviously we'll try and get you some clips on Instagram, as well as obviously you can catch us on vergemagazine.co.uk. Thank you very much, guys. You know, love you lots, and we'll see you next week. Peace.
Take care.
Oh, and sorry, Maria, Kali Nikta to you.
Oh, that's very impressive. Yeah, Kali.
Oh. <wow. laughs>
Peace.